I have a thought on my heart. It's not a deep mystical message by any means, but it's good for just down to earth everyday Christian living. And I'm going to use it this morning. I give this sermon topic, balancing our account. Balancing our account. Isn't it good when you can make the bank book balance? And that was always one of the hardest things in the world for me to do. For 22 years, I was secretary of the Louisiana District, handled and multiplied thousands of dollars every month. And at the end of the month, to balance that checkbook was not an easy task to do. I don't do it no more. Sister Class does it, and I hear her talk about she's going to balance a bucket. She don't say budget, she says balance a bucket. Well, I'm going to preach on balancing the budget, balancing our account tonight, today. And I want you to listen to it. You owe and you're owed. Some owe you and you owe some. Let's try to balance our account. It's going to be wonderful to meet God with a balanced account. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm reading from the book of Philemon, this beautiful book. I wish I had time to read several verses, but I don't, and for the lack of time, I'll just read 18 and 19, verse 18 and 19 of Philemon. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. That's beautiful. I wish I had time to read more, but this is time's getting away from us, and I want to get this thought across to you. I like this book very much, and the contents of it are so good for Christian living. Just apply the whole book to your life. Now, the letter Paul wrote to Philemon, and it wouldn't be had he not wanted Philemon to have this letter, this advice that he was giving him. Onesimus was one time a servant of Philemon, and he stole from him. He didn't treat Philemon exactly right. He took something that didn't belong to him, and he escaped with it. And he went to Rome, and there he encountered the Apostle Paul, and he was converted under Paul and confessed his wrongdoings to Paul, told him what he had done to Onesimus. Well, Paul then sat down and wrote this letter to Philemon and sent it by the hand of Onesimus. And he told him that I read to you here. He said in the full part, he was one time unprofitable to you, Philemon, but now he's going to be profitable. He's not going to be just a servant to you, Philemon, but he's going to be a brother. He's going to be a brother. He's a brother now. He's converted. I could have kept him here with me, but I wouldn't do that, Philemon. I wanted everything right with you and Onesimus. Then everything would be right with us. Now, if he owes you anything, now, Philemon, if Onesimus owes you anything, you put that on my account, what you owe me. Now, there's the beautiful thought in this lesson. Balancing our account with God. Living among His people. We're going to find some of His people indebted to us. Then we're going to find ourselves indebted to some of them. And the way it is with us, if you owe me, I expect you to pay me. Or if I owe you, you expect me to pay you. But in God's kingdom, in God's church, it's one another. It isn't each other. It's one another. Have love one to another. I love you, and you love you, and you love you. It just goes on, no end to it. Had a feet washing one day in the church, and I told the men, we went in our compartment to wash one another's feet, and they sit down to wash each other. They sit down in pairs to wash one another. I said, the scripture don't say that. The scripture says, wash one another. Now, you wash his, and he washed, just put them in a line on a seat. Start here, come back. When you come to the last one comes back to the first one. And nobody, no two washed each other's feet. They washed one another's feet. Well, that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. It's one to another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Not if you love each other. Now, that's too much of us. We love who loves us. But that's not God's way. God's way is you love everyone, and I love everyone. Now, Paul is telling Philemon here, he owes you. In other words, he confessed to me that he owes you. But you remember, Paul, you owe me. And sometimes we wrestle with what people owes us, but we never think about what we owe others. And if we would just sit down to balance our account, to balance it, we may find that we owe more than we're owed. We may find that. That may not be the same way. May not be the same person. But we sit among many here this morning of God's children, and I don't want to owe one of you anything. And you don't want to owe. But if you do owe, pay that. Scripture says, pay that which thou owest. And while I'm talking to you, I'm thinking of an account I'm working on right now, just as hard as I can. I'm watching every move I make every day, working on this account to balance it out. I got to balance it. And it's up to me to balance it. I pastored DeRitter for a number of years with the former pastor sitting on the pew, Brother Dees. Brother Dees pastored DeRitter. Now, he's no relation of Brother Dees in Houston. He pastored DeRitter many years and then retired there. And he sat on my pew. a retired pastor, pastored those people that I'm now pastoring. And he never gave me one single second of anxiety. Not one. Never. He didn't give me one ounce of trouble. Not one. In all the years he was there and I was pastor. And there's the saints he pastored, but he's not pastoring them now. He's sitting in the pew with them, and I'm pastoring them, and he's respecting me just like the saints, and never, I want to say again, never gave me one moment's trouble. Now, I'm sitting where he's sat now. Brother Johnson's pastoring the church. I pastored it 15 years, and I builded the church, baptized many of the people. Among them is your pastor. And there I sit. Well, I'm doing the very best I can, saints. I want you to listen to me. I'm doing the best I can to treat him just like Brother Dees treated me. I'm in debt to Brother Dees for his cooperation and his kindness to me the years I pastored him. But he's dead and gone. I can't pay him. But I'm paying it to another. Paying it to another. Balancing. I want to meet the Lord if Brother Dees is on one side and Brother Johnson on the other in the judgment with me. I want the account to balance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't some in this beautiful audience this morning that people owe you something. You may know someone that owes you an apology. It wouldn't hurt them a bit to apologize to you. And I hope they do before they leave here. But do you owe an apology to someone? Do you owe? I'm of the opinion that the majority of us, if we take close notice and balance our account, we find that we actually owe more than is owed us. Praise God. Praise God. Balance your account. Oh, if you owe somebody, pay them. But Brother Glass are dead and gone. Pay it to someone else. It's not dollars and cents. It could be kindness. It could be deeds. It could be love. It could be just a lot of things that we could just be paying, paying. Praise the Lord. I just feel in my heart that before too long, I'm going to face the Lord. And when I face Him, I want a balanced account. Praise God. Praise God. Balance the count. Balance the count. I go back into the teachings of Jesus. I find where he gave a very interesting parable. To me, it's very interesting. Peter asked him about the law of forgiveness. How many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? Seven times, Jesus said, 70 times seven, if you're going to put it in numbers. 70 times seven. Now, he didn't mean multiply 70 by seven and quit there. That means there's no end to forgiveness. There's no end to it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Then he said that there was a certain man that a creditor owed him. And I figured up what it would be in our money. He owed him $11 million in our money. His whole family was mortgaged to this man. His wife and children were mortgaged to him. And the man was foreclosing on the mortgage. Foreclosing. Going to take his family. And this man pleaded so sincerely, so in earnest. He said, if you would just be patient with me, I'll pay you everything I owe you. If you'll just be patient with me.
Well, it touched the heart of this man, and he forgave him everything. Just forgave him. Wiped the slate clean. Praise God. Wasn't that something? Now you think of that. You just think of that. Then there was a man that owed this man. I figured up the amount that he was owed. A man owed him $15 in our money. $15. And he went to collect it. And the man said exactly what he said. If you'll be patient with me, I'll pay you this debt. But be patient with me. And man wouldn't be patient. He took him by the throat and was going to choke him. And he said, you're going to pay me. You're going to pay me what you owe me. Now that's business. Balance an account. Just look what he was forgiven. And now what a little he's asked to forgive a man of. Just compare it. And he wouldn't do it. And I know where I am this morning. I know where I am. And I've known people that wouldn't forgive for just the smallest matters. They wouldn't forgive. Just hold it. Just hold it. And this man, no, I'll not forgive you. You're going to pay me. And he made him pay. And someone went and told their master, his master that forgave him so much, went and told him. And he came back to him and said, you wicked. An unforgiving spirit is wicked. It's wicked. The scripture speaks of spiritual wickedness in high places. How can there be spiritual wickedness in high places? Well, it could be people in responsible places in the church with an unforgiving spirit. That spiritual wickedness in high places. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
He came back to him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Look what I forgave you of. Look what I forgave you of. Now you won't forgive this man for this amount. Now here's what I'm going to see you, and I'm glad Brother Horace is here to hear me say it. Because it's generally accepted among all our people. One time you're forgiven, never be brought up against you again. I've heard that testified to so many times. It's under the blood, it's a thing of the past, it's in the bottom of the sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought up to me again. But you listen to what Jesus said. You listen. And the Lord was wroth, delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise, Jesus said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their transgression. Now, brother, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want sins that I committed before I came to Christ. I don't want to face them again. And you don't. If you go to God with an old, stubborn, unforgiving spirit, you're likely to meet every sin you ever committed. I read it to you. I read it to you. Praise God. Brother, I don't want to hold a thing against anybody in the world. Nobody. Nobody. Praise God. Praise God. Sister Glass and I have our family devotion every day, twice a day. And then together we quote the Lord's Prayer. And in that prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts. And then he adds, as we forgive our debtors. And that's the way you're forgiven, as you forgive. Forgive and it shall be forgiven you. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's when the Lord forgives you, is when you forgive. Praise God. Oh, is there somebody here I owe an apology to? I want to apologize. Molly, do I owe you anything? If I do, I want to pay you today. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Balance in our account. I read afresh this morning, read it many times, preached from it nearly as many times as I've read it. A beautiful parable of the Good Samaritan. Beautiful. I'm not going to preach from it this morning, but I'm going to refer to the last thought in it. The Good Samaritan came by and picked up the man that was robbed and left to die. He passed him by, the leaves passed him by, but the Good Samaritan came and picked him up. Took him, put him on his beast. The Good Samaritan walked and let this fallen man ride his beast to an inn. And he turned him over to the innkeeper and took out 2 pence and gave him. And he said, now you take care of him. I want you to notice he didn't say, take this 2 pence and spend it on him as far as it'll go. Stretch it if you can. Try to make, no, he just gave him 2 pence and says, take care of him. Take care of him. I preach this to myself, pastor in a church. Take care of him. Makes no difference what it costs. Take care. And the Good Samaritan said, and when I come back, when I come back, I'll pay you the difference in what you spend and what I give you. I'll pay you the difference. Now, that's beautiful. Your sister God, oh, this is beautiful. That innkeeper was left in a position to draw a big pay when this man came back. Or he was in a position to just draw a meager amount. I've said this, he could have took that fallen man and placed him in just a corner of his inn and fed him warmed over soup and let him hunger all night long, let him go thirsty for the need of water, wait till the next day. He could treat him any way he wants. Left up to him. But he's going to get what's owed him when the Good Samaritan comes back. Now here we are in the kingdom of God, the church of the living God. Every one of us are servants in the church. Servants. Thank God for the privilege of being a servant. Thank God. Years ago, a number of us preachers went to Capitol in Baton Rouge to meet the governor. We wanted him to do some work on our campground, and we had an appointment with him, and we went. And incidentally, we didn't know it, but when we got there, there was a lot of people over at the Capitol waiting to see the governor, and he's at the governor's mansion, and his secretary slipped to me. I was head of delegation of ministers, slipped me and said, you brought this delegation of ministers to meet the governor. I said, yes. Said, well, He told me to tell you to bring all the ministers over to the mansion. He's fixing to eat dinner, and he wants to eat dinner with all of you. Well, brother, that was an honor. We went over to the governor's mansion, and we sat down, and there was a servant in the mansion sat down to eat with us. That servant. Servant to the governor, sitting down, eating with the governor and the governor's guest. And I thought, well, it's not too bad to be that governor's servant. Well, it's not near that bad to be my Lord's servant. Praise God. Be my Lord's servant. We're all servants. And we're in a place to do all we want to do. No limit. No limit. Thank God. Each and every one I'm preaching to now, it could be possible if you would, for the Lord, for the souls of men, you could have somebody sitting with you in this service next Sunday. You could do it. But you don't have to. If you don't do it, you won't get no pay for it. But if you will, you'll have something coming when the Lord comes. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I just know a lot of people that won't serve God, won't do service in the church because they say it's not appreciated or don't get nothing for it. Everything you don't get paid for here, you'll get it when Jesus comes. I want something when He comes. And I tell you the honest truth, I've got so much just in this life. So many good things have come to me because of my service to God. Until it makes me wonder, will I have anything coming when He comes? When He comes and brings His rewards, will I have anything coming? I'm getting it all here. So please don't any of you say anything to me about, I enjoyed your sermon. Don't say that. Let me get something when the Lord comes. Praise the Lord. Somebody will sing a song and they kind of position themselves for somebody to come around and say, I enjoyed it. There's your payday. There it is. Sing one and sit out at the back door. Don't let nobody say nothing to you. Let the Lord pay you when He comes. Brother Pastor, just preach on. If nobody tells you they love you and appreciate you, just keep on preaching. You're preaching for the Lord anyway. I went to see a backslider, and they're the hardest people in the world to deal with. I believe I'd rather just go see a sinner and try to get him to come to church as deal with a backslider. Got a lot of faults to be found. I went to his house and I talked to him. He said, well, the last time I went to church, well, nobody hardly noticed us there. I said, is that right? He said, that's right. I said, now just what do you mean? He said, well, hardly anybody spoke to me. I said, do you remember how many did speak to you? He said, well, I'd say there was a dozen. I said, well, now, how many did you speak to? There's difference in you speaking to somebody and them speaking to you. He said, well, I don't know if I spoke to anybody. I said, you mean while you was there, a dozen people got out of their seat and walked over to where you were sitting and spoke to you? He said, there wasn't no more than a dozen. I was wondering how many you wanted. And I said, how many did you get out of your seat and go speak to? Well, I didn't get out of my seat and go speak to anybody, but a dozen spoke to you. I said, man, I preached that night. I preached that night, and not one single person said one single word to me about my preaching. But I went back next service, I can preach 10. I'm not preaching for expressions of appreciation. I'm preaching for the Lord. Praise God. Sunday school superintendent wanted to resign the Sunday school. And I said, well, Brother Foster, what's the matter? You're doing good. Sunday schools are doing good. Well, I don't feel appreciated. I said, my good man, is that what you're superintending this Sunday school for, is expressions of appreciation? I refuse your resignation. You continue on superintending this school and forget it. You're working for God. Praise the Lord. I feel like this, precious church, and I'm going to sit down. I feel like every member of every church ought to do everything they can to enhance the progress of that church for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. Praise God. And the Lord will pay you when He comes. You may not get nothing for it here, but you'll have something coming when the Lord comes. Now that innkeeper was in a position to really do himself some good. He could give that man the best service in the world and forget about that little 2 pence, because when the Good Samaritan comes back, he's going to deduct that 2 pence that he gave him from the amount he spent and then pay him the difference. The Lord's a-coming. The Lord's a-coming. He knows everything we've gotten for our service to the Lord. He knows. Praise God. Praise God. My thoughts keep coming to me to go back to that parable of forgiveness and complete it before I sit down. Now, this is God's way of doing business. If that man would have forgiven the one that owed him $15, his account would have balanced with that him owing $11 million. He was forgiven. He forgave $15, but it would have balanced. I was forgiven and I forgave. It isn't the amount. It isn't the amount. It's the balance. Praise God. Praise God.